Please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and to introduce our lesson, we want to read the first three verses. Hebrews 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Whenever I read from the book of Hebrews, I can't help but think about the class that I took over 30 years ago. And one of my favorite teachers at Freed Hardeman taught the class on Hebrews. And I really enjoyed that class very much and learned a lot. But I learned to especially appreciate several verses, and these are among those verses that I especially appreciate. I'd like to know over the years how many times I've read these verses in sermons and in lessons. But there's some very important information given to us in these passages that we need to think about on a regular basis. Holidays and special events will occasionally provide opportunities for us to study a number of different subjects. For example, last Monday was Valentine's Day, so last Sunday we studied a lesson on love, and then we studied a lesson on the heart. I like to do that from time to time. Sometimes special events or holidays provide opportunities for us to deal with certain subjects. Well, as you well know, this weekend in our area, racing is receiving a lot of attention. That being the case, perhaps it's a good time for us to concentrate on the fact that the Christian race must be run with patience. That's the point that is made in these verses in Hebrews chapter 12. These verses actually reveal three guidelines that will help us to run the race that is set before us with patience. Now, that's the main point that we want to emphasize, is running the Christian race with patience. But there are three very helpful guidelines given to us in these verses that will help us accomplish this very important goal. First, to run the Christian race with patience, we must look to the examples of faithful men and women. Now notice that verse 1 of chapter 12 begins with the word wherefore. That indicates that what's about to be said is based on information that has just been presented. Well, chapter 11 is known as the great faith chapter of the Bible. And in that chapter, we read about the faith that was demonstrated by a number of great men and women from the Old Testament. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 12 that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. That's referring to those men and women of faith listed in chapter 11. Now, the picture is similar to that of a stadium. Of course, the athletes are competing down on the field, but the stands are filled with fans. And this great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us is referring to those men and women of faith that we read about in the Old Testament. And it's as if they were in a stadium, we're on the field competing, and they're cheering us on. That's a beautiful picture as far as I'm concerned, thinking that these great men and women of faith that we read about in chapter 11 are actually doing whatever they can to cheer us on and to encourage us. Well, in verses 4 through 31 of chapter 11, we read about great men and women of faith such as Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and Rahab. Now, their faith is specifically mentioned, and we're able to read about what they accomplished on the basis of their faith. And then, in verses 32 through 38 of chapter 11, there are a number of other great men and women of faith mentioned in connection with the trials that they faced. Now, there's more detailed information given in the first part of the chapter, but then the writer sort of gets to the point where he says, I don't have time or the space to deal with more people, so I'm just going to barely mention certain ones. And we're able to read about the trials that they faced. And they faced their trials successfully because they faced them with faith. Now there's an application made for us in the last two verses of chapter 11. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. These people that we're able to read about in chapter 11 obtained a good report. Why? Because they ran their races with patience. And notice that the writer tells us that God has provided much greater blessings for us living today. That being the case, we should be able to run the race that is set before us with patience. The illustration is, these great men and women from the past ran their races with patience. We have access to far greater blessings that they had access to. We ought to be encouraged to run the Christian race with patience. So these great people from the Old Testament are a great source of encouragement. Now, quite often I quote Romans 15 and verse 4 to show that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, but the rest of the verse says that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. We would do well to study about these great men and women from the Old Testament and receive encouragement from them. We have access to far greater blessings than those people had access to. They ran their races with patience. Therefore, we ought to be encouraged to do the same thing. One illustration that I've used a number of times is that many years ago, Teresa and I were up in the mountains in East Tennessee, and we were trying to get to one particular place, and there's a spectacular view if you can make it up there. And we got to one particular spot that required quite a reach to go from one rock to another. Well, I'm from Florida, so I'm not used to climbing mountains, but we did want to get up to the top of that place because the view is just spectacular. But I didn't know if I could make it, and Teresa, of course, she's shorter than I am. I didn't know if she could make it either, and she didn't know if she could. Well, about that time, this young couple came right beside us and just went right on up. And I thought, I'm not going to be outdone by somebody else like that, especially a girl. So we mustered up the courage to stretch across that opening, and we made it. And let me tell you, when we got up to the top, the view was well worth it. It was a clear day, and we could see a long way. It was in the fall of the year, and the leaves were at their peak, and it was just gorgeous. But that's an example of someone else doing something that gave me enough encouragement to launch out and do something I didn't think I could do. Well, that might be a rather crude illustration, but maybe it goes along with the point that's being made. After listing all of those men and women of faith in chapter 11 in connection with what they did, the writer says, we are surrounded with this great cloud of witnesses as he begins chapter 12. And he says, that being the case, let us run the race that is set before us with patience. All right, that's one guideline. We need to remember that we can run the Christian race with patience when we look to the examples of these great men and women of faith that we read about in the Old Testament. Guideline number two is to run the Christian race with patience, we must lay aside certain things. The writer makes it very clear in Hebrews 12. In verse 1, he says that we must lay aside every weight. Whatever would present itself as an obstacle, something that would burden us down, has to be put aside. I'm reminded of what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus was coming to the conclusion of his great sermon, and he said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." When the Bible teaches us to enter in at the straight gate, that's referring to a gate that is fixed. It's narrow. And the point being made is you can't carry a whole bunch of excess baggage through that gate. In other words, certain things have to be put aside. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is teaching us, that in order to run the race with patience, not only must we look to the examples of men and women of faith from the Old Testament, but we need to lay aside anything that would be a hindrance. And Jesus made that very clear when he presented his great sermon, Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. So to run the race with patience, we must lay aside every weight. But then the writer also mentions that we must lay aside the sin that easily besets us, or anything that would entangle us. The writer of Hebrews says, lay it aside. And you know, we're individuals, and the Bible identifies things that are wrong as well as things that are right. So there are certain things that are wrong that we're all to abstain from. But we need to keep in mind that temptation is also a personal matter. Now, to illustrate the point, there are things that tempt you that would not tempt me. There are things that tempt me that would not tempt you. That's the way temptation works. You see, it's individual and personal. So whatever sin that would entangle us or beset us, anything that would prevent us from completing running the race with patience, the Bible teaches us to lay it aside. Now let's tie in a few other verses that go along with that very important principle. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 18 and read verses 8 and 9. Matthew 18, verses 8 and 9. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. Now, when the Bible talks about offending, it's not talking about hurting someone's feelings. It's talking about causing someone to stumble. The Lord said, whatever it's going to cause you to stumble, he said, get rid of it. Even if it's something as important as a hand or a foot. He went on to say, it is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. You know, a hand or a foot or an eye, they're all important parts of the body, and we would not want to lose any of them. They're all needful. They're all special to us. But the Lord was illustrating a point. He said, if something is very special to you, even as important as a hand or a foot or an eye, if it's going to cause you to stumble, he said, get rid of it. Now, what does the writer of Hebrews tell us? He tells us that in order to run the race that is set before us with patience, we have to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let's look at Romans 13. Romans 13, and read a few verses starting at verse 12. These verses teach us to cast off the works of darkness. Romans 13, beginning at verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. There are certain activities that the Bible teaches are harmful to us spiritually. And the Bible teaches us to cast those off. And let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, we want to read verses 5 and 6. And these verses teach us that we're to mortify our earthly members. The word mortify means to put to death. In other words, we're to lay them aside. We're to put them off. We're to get rid of them. Colossians 3, 5 and 6. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Well, the Bible teaches us to cast off the works of darkness. It also teaches us to mortify our earthly members. So over and over again throughout the New Testament, we're taught to put aside anything that will prevent us from running the Christian race with patience. Now, we're able to receive a tremendous amount of encouragement from men and women of faith, those that we read about in the Old Testament. But we had the responsibility of eliminating anything that would prevent us from running the race with patience. Then there's a third guideline given to us in the verses that we're studying. To run the Christian race with patience, we must look unto the Lord. In other words, we need to keep our eyes focused on Him. Why is it so important for us to keep our eyes focused on the Lord? Well, one reason is that He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And that's a good reason, isn't it? The writer tells us that Jesus endured the cross. And by enduring the cross as He did, Jesus has shown us what running the race with patience is all about. Now, we're able to receive a tremendous amount of encouragement from those men and women of faith that we read about in the Old Testament. Many of them are listed in chapter 11. But the ultimate example is Christ Himself. He endured the cross. He ran His race with patience. He completed it. And the writer tells us in verse 3 of Hebrews 12 that when we consider the treatment that Jesus endured, we will not become weary and we will not faint in our minds. Well, that's one reason why we need to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Something else is mentioned. We must look unto Him because of where He is. This is referring to His location. Verse 2 teaches us that He's at the right hand of the throne of God. And if we will keep our eyes focused on Him, we'll be headed in the right direction. Now, we read just a few verses a moment ago from Colossians 3. We read verses 5 and 6. Let's back up to the beginning of the chapter and read the first four verses. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. If we will keep our eyes focused on the Lord, we'll be headed in the right direction. We'll be mindful of the example that Jesus set before us when he endured the cross. He never gave up. He submitted completely to the Father's will. And I think it's interesting that when Jesus was on the cross, the Bible identifies seven things that he said. One of them was, "It is finished." The Lord knew that he crossed the finish line. And he ran his race successfully. Now, if we'll be mindful of his example, that will motivate us to run our races with patience. We won't become weary, and we won't faint in our minds. I was trying to remember just when it was, and I can't remember the exact year, but it was between 15 and 18 years ago. Teresa and I went to the July race. And after the race started, of course, if you're familiar with the race at Daytona, all the cars were in a big pack. And I noticed one car fell back. He couldn't keep up with the others. And he was really struggling. I can't remember for sure which driver it was. I've got it narrowed down to two possibilities, but I'm not positive, so I'm not going to mention his name. You'd know him if I mentioned it. But I watched that driver in that car, and he fell further and further behind. And I thought to myself, if I was him, I'd get off the track. I'd just quit. Well, he didn't. He went off the track a few times to try to make some quick repairs, and he went right back out on the track. And he was struggling. And he was so far back that when he came in front of us, his car sounded like it was about to blow up. And I thought, he'll never make it to the end of the race. But anyway, he stayed out there. And he kept completing laps. I thought, there's no way he can win this race. But you know what he did? He had his eyes focused on the big picture. What was he doing? Every time he completed a lap, he was scoring points. And at the end of the racing season, every point matters. Now, what was he doing? He was wanting to finish that race. And it's been so long ago, I don't remember if he did or not, but that's what he was trying to do. He knew he couldn't finish first. He knew he couldn't win the race, but he stayed out there. And I have to admit, my first reaction was, like I said a moment ago, why doesn't he just get off the track and quit, maybe even get on his plane and go home? But he didn't do that. He exercised some patience, and he stayed out there on the track. I thought, you know, I believe there's a lesson in that for us. After a while, I wasn't interested in him, but as the race went on, he got my attention. That was a great example of patience, not giving up. Well, when it comes to the Christian race, it's not a matter of trying to finish first. Now, when it comes to a stock car race, that's important. When it comes to a race that athletes participate in running, crossing the finish line first is what matters. But when it comes to the Christian race, what's important is finishing. It's not a matter of competing to see who's going to be first. As a matter of fact, Jesus dealt with that issue among his disciples. They wanted to know who was greatest in the kingdom, and Jesus taught them on three different occasions about who's greatest in the kingdom. And it's not a matter of trying to finish first. When it comes to the Christian race, it's a matter of finishing. And in order to finish, we have to exercise some patience. And in order to exercise patience, we must look to the examples of faithful men and women from the past. We must lay aside things that would be hindrances, and we must keep our eyes focused on the Lord. And if we will do that, we can have some confidence. Let's read about the confidence that was demonstrated by the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Did Paul have confidence? Well, he certainly did. And he realized that with the Lord's help, he had finished his race. And he said, there's a great reward in store for me. But that confidence is not only available to the great Apostle Paul, it's available to all who love the Lord's appearing. So we can all have that same confidence if we will follow the things that we've been talking about today. That is, run the race that is set before us with patience. And we need to remember those three guidelines that will help us accomplish that. Receive encouragement from great men and women of faith. Lay aside those things that would be hindrances. And keep our eyes focused on the Lord. Well, we have to enter the race. We do that by becoming a Christian. And Jesus said when he gave the Great Commission, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Once we've entered the race, we're to run it with patience. And if we will run it with patience and follow these guidelines that we've talked about today, we can have confidence when our Savior comes back.